We've been hearing the Christmas songs already, and it's not even December yet. But I'm glad our brother chose some songs that weren't Christmas carols tonight. I love Christmas carols, but I don't think we should be singing them already. I don't know. Maybe that's just me. But I'm still back in Thanksgiving, and that's why I handed out these sheets, and I hope everybody has sheets tonight that we can sing. I don't think Brother Donald has one, if you have any more. I'm going to read the verse. Maybe we know this song. I hope we do. I heard it a time or two, but Brother Bill and Sister Linda kind of introduced me to this song, and it's kind of grown on to me. I love it. When I come to the chorus, I want everybody to help to sing. The world looks around me as I struggle along. They say I have nothing, but they are so wrong. In my heart I'm rejoicing, how I wish they could see. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. There's a roof up above me, I've a good place to sleep. There's food on my table, and shoes on my feet. You gave me your love, Lord, and a fine family. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing on me. Let's sing it again. There's a roof up above me. I've a good place to sleep. There's food on my table and shoes on my feet. You gave me your love, Lord, and a fine family. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing on me. I know I'm not wealthy, and these clothes are not new. I don't have much money, but Lord, I have you. And to me, you're all that matters, though the world may not see. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. That song was written by James Easter in North Carolina. I just love that song. We're all wealthy. We're maybe better off than that, but I just like that song. We want to look at this chapter tonight really in depth. And I want to read each verse here before we start to expound on them. Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. The topic of my lesson this evening is Send Him to Me. There's a verse in this reading here that our brother read that says, Let Him come to me. But there's another version that says, Send Him to me. And I feel that that's kind of like Jesus calling us, Come to me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Naaman, a captain, a great man, honorable, a mighty man of valor. You know, Naaman was great. He had just about everything. But I believe the lowest servant would not have wanted to change places with him, because he was a leper. Now, where did Naaman get this leprosy? Was it before or after his exaltation? He was a mighty man of valor. Back in some of the Old Testament writings here, a leper was turned out for a while when they became leprous. But here, it seems like in Syria, it was a little bit different. They didn't just make them God, evidently. And yet, the king didn't want him to be a leper, or else, if you look over in verse 4, I think it is. No, it's verse 5. And the king of Syria said, go to go. That sounds like it's urgent to me. Now, in Luke 17, we have an account of 10 lepers that came to Jesus, but they were evidently, it was no really reason, or at least we don't read of it, that there was a reason for their leprosy. It was something that just happened to them, like we have cancer today, I suppose, that just comes on people. There's not really a reason that we can give for that. But I think about Miriam. There was a reason there. Miriam and Aaron, they wanted to be kind of the same status as Moses was. And so the Lord was angry about that, and he made Miriam leprous. And she was turned out for a couple of days. Now, we hardly hear of leprosy today, and I wonder sometimes if we could just say leprosy is a plague of sin. Let's look at verse 2. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. Now, there must have been some wars there between Syria and Israel, and Syria took some captives. I'm just reading this into the scripture. I believe that it was more than just this one girl that was a captive. So they probably took some captives along back to Syria, and this little maid was one of them. And Naaman gave this little maid to his wife as her mistress and helper. Do you remember Syria would have been northeast of Israel? It was a land mass there that was northeast of Israel. And they were close to each other. So I suppose, I'm not sure why they warred against each other. I do believe maybe it was because Israel was sinning so much and God was sending some other nations in to humble them. Anyhow, they took this captive, this young Israelite girl. Now verse 3 says, and she said unto her mistress, would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. I like this verse. This young maid, no name given for her, but she had a love and concern even for her enemies. Naaman would have been an enemy to the Israelites. She evidently had no bad feelings for her master. She said, I would to God. I would to God that she was with the prophet in Samaria. You know, she was taught to reverence her elders. I believe she was taught, and she took that teaching seriously, that she was reverent to her elders. I believe also she recognized a prophet in Israel. She recognized him as a man of God. I believe she kept her faith, even in a foreign land. She had a great faith in that prophet, no doubt. So I believe she was genuine. I believe she was a genuine follower of the Lord. She said there, I just would to God, my Lord, that he would be with the prophet that is in Samaria. And one went in and told his Lord, saying, thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel. Now who went in? We don't really know who went in. Was it Naaman himself? Was it Naaman's wife? We don't really know who went in. But whoever went in thought, I believe it was, this is worth a try anyhow. This little girl, you know, we don't have to take her word. But we're going to try this anyhow. We're going to take her word for it. And so they did. Naaman did. The king did. In verse 5, and the king of Syria said, go to, go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. It almost sounds urgent, doesn't it? Go to, go. I can almost read into that scripture an urgency that the king wanted Naaman to go. Go to, go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. So Naaman went, and he had a lot of pay along. Another version says it was $20,000 worth of silver, $60,000 worth of gold, and 10 changes of clothing. You know, it almost sounds like somebody back in Acts. Acts 8. I'm going to read a couple verses there. Verse 20. But Peter said unto him, thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent, therefore, of this thy wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. One person there wanted to give money so he could have some of this power. Salvation's free. It cost Jesus his life, but it's free for us. Salvation itself is free. The king of Syria sent a letter to the king of Israel. The king of Syria sent a letter. And he was all worked up about this. Verse 6, and he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, now when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman my servant to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy. And it came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes and said, am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man doth send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me. It seems like king of Syria had he wanted Naaman cured of his leprosy. But the king there in Israel took it the wrong way. He's trying to bring something here that I might say that they could have war again, that they could come against me in war. But that really wasn't the reason he sent that. We know that. We have the word here tells us that. But the king thought. You know, talk about jumping at conclusions. Don't we do that sometimes? We jump at conclusions. We think it, you know, we hear something and, that sounds pretty good. And then we start thinking maybe a little bad about somebody else. We need to be careful of that. We are apt to jump at conclusions, but that's not, we need to know the facts, just like here, that the king didn't know all the facts. He formed an opinion without knowing all the facts. And that's a danger for us as believers. Verse 8. And it was so when Elisha, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come nigh to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. Elisha saved the day for King Jehoram. Let him come now to me. Send him to me. He will know. And when we read down further in this lesson, we'll find out he did know that there was a prophet in Israel. Not all have gone against God. I can think of Elisha saying this. Not all have gone against God. I'll prove to him that there's a God in heaven. Not Rimmon, but there's a true God. And we need to serve the true God. So Naaman came with his horses, with his chariot, and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. That sounds good, doesn't it? Well, who was he trying to impress? It almost seemed like he was trying to impress Elisha. He comes with his chariot, with his horses, and probably his servants with their horses and chariots. I believe he was a little conceited, and he thought that he was somebody. You know, the king really exalted him. And I think that it maybe rubbed off a little on him. He thought, he is somebody. But Elisha, he didn't even come out. He didn't even come out of the house. But he sent a servant out. You go wash in the Jordan River 7 times. But I believe he wanted to impress Elisha, but I don't think he really did. He didn't. He stood at the door hoping that Elisha would come out. But Elisha just sent a message out. Go wash in the Jordan. 7 times. I was just thinking about that. We are told to be washed. Washed in the blood of the Lamb. Washed. Repent, believe, and be baptized. That's for each one of us. Now, Elisha could have healed him right there, couldn't he? He could have, but he didn't. You know, there's something that we need to do. Repent, believe, and be baptized. Now, Elisha, or Naaman, had to learn humility. He's gonna soon. He didn't yet. Elisha could see through Naaman. He could see this Naaman as an exalted person. He thought he was really someone. But Elisha was really saying to me, if you obey me to the letter, then you're gonna be clean. You're gonna be healed. But Naaman was wroth and went away and said, Behold, I thought he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord and cover me. Naaman was angry. He almost went back to Syria, still a leper, didn't he? He said he went away and he was wroth. Always went away and didn't get healed. I mean, it was so simple a thing to do. And isn't that true today for us? Such simple things that the scriptures give. But yet, they're like mountains to us, aren't they? Naaman was mad. You know, he thought. He said, Behold, I thought. You know, sometimes we think God should do it this way. God ought to do this that way. God ought to answer my prayers now. I'm that way. I've been that way. But our ways, I think it's in Isaiah, doesn't it? It say in Isaiah, my ways are not your ways. This is God speaking. Or your ways are not my ways. And I forget how that really goes there. But anyhow, how does that go, Fred? All right. That's the way it is. We don't really know. Sometimes we think, but maybe we're not thinking like we ought to. The Bible says, they that wait on the Lord, Psalm 22, they that wait on the Lord. That's hard. He went away angry. Still a leper. So near to being cured. He still had too much pride. Are not Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. You know, I looked in my Bible dictionary at the, I think it's the Abana River. It really is a nice looking river. It looked clear. There's a picture of it in my Bible dictionary. And I don't know how the Jordan River is, but anyhow, he was to go to the Jordan River. Doesn't matter. But he thought, oh, these are better rivers. Why can't I wash in them? So he went away in a rage. I can almost see Elisha shaking his head. I can't believe this. He comes to me, and I'll heal him. All he needs to do is obey my voice. You know, Elisha didn't go out and apologize either, did he? He didn't go out and apologize for the inconvenience that he was given Naaman. And his servants came near and spake unto him and said, my father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather then when he saith to thee, wash and be clean. The servants came and saved the day. They told him he better go and wash. You know, they were taking really a chance too. He could have just put them out, but he didn't. He took their advice, and I'm glad he did. You know, sometimes I wonder why God even healed him with such an attitude like that. But they're getting to the root of the problem with Naaman. He was a different man, and he was healed of his leprosy. You know, in Proverbs chapter 6, I think it is, one of the first things that we read is God hates a proud look. Hates pride. I believe that was a little bit of Naaman's trouble. Naaman, if Elisha would have asked you to do some great thing, you'd have would have done it, wouldn't you? And I suppose he probably would have shook his head yes. He would, because he wanted to be a real uppity person. But 14 says, then he went down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. He was clean. All he had to do was obey. Such a simple thing. I guess his servants wanted him to be healed too. Now, isn't it true that sometimes we would like to see results on our own terms? It's a simple thing, Naaman. you were asked to wash in the Jordan River. Remember? Verse 14, then he went down and dipped himself seven times according to the saying of the man of God. He went down there. He got cleaned up. But he had to obey. He had to obey the voice of Elisha. The result was great. If he would have dipped five times, it wouldn't have worked. It had to be seven times. He had to obey completely seven times, and then he would be healed. Let's read verse 14 together. Then went he down and dipped himself seven times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. Beautiful verse. What does the hymn say? We sang it this morning. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. I can't help but think that there was rejoicing and praise by the riverside that day when Naaman was healed, just like when a sinner repents. Joy in heaven and in earth. What a great thing came about through the just a little girl. I would to God. I would that he would just go to that prophet in Samaria. Just because of that little girl. Look what a difference it made. Kind of goes along with Brother Glenn's sermon this morning. Sometimes it's these little things. Sometimes the young people, they can make us think. You know, it doesn't take someone or something great. Verse 15, and he returned to the man of God, he and all his company, and came and stood before him, and he said, Behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Now, therefore, I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant. You know, he was finally down to where he should have been. But, just comes to me right now, the thought. Why the children of Israel couldn't even understand that altogether. Some of them, at least. But here was a man from Syria. He knew there's a God in heaven. Praise God, he went back to Elisha's house. Naaman confesses, there is no God. These are my own words, and there's no God like the God of Israel. Why is it that many times people won't turn to the Lord until they land flat on their back? Then they want to look up to the Lord. You can really, usually, not always, but usually, you can talk to people then. But praise God, there are a few, hopefully every one of us tonight, that can praise God and trust and obey just because we know that Jesus did a lot for us. Not till a last resort, but we're serving him. We believe in him. Now, Naaman was like that one leper in Luke 17 that came back to give thanks. He returned to Elisha, an altogether different person. Naaman said, verse 17, shall there not then, I pray thee, be given to thy... Oh, wait a minute, I missed the verse here. But he said, as the Lord liveth, before whom I stand, I will receive none. And he urged him to take it. He wanted to give him all these things that he brought along, I guess, for pay. But Elisha said, this is not a time. This is not a time for that. I feel bad that Gehazi didn't see that too. But it almost seems like Gehazi looked only at the dollar bill. Notice also, I don't know if you noticed this or not, but five times, you know, Naaman, he was a pretty big person, but five times here we read that he called Elisha as a servant. Thy servant. Just think of that. I pray thee, in verse 15, take a blessing of thy servant. And then he says in verse 17, and Naaman said, shall there not then, I pray thee, be given to thy servant? And all, five times I think it's written here, somewhere in this lesson, that he was now a servant. He wasn't Naaman this great person anymore, but he was now Naaman a servant. He was healed. Now, another thing, he wanted two mule loads. I read this over. I never read that before. I mean, I never really noticed that. But he wanted two mule loads of grand to take along back to Syria. This Israelite ground was going to be taken back to Syria. I suppose it was going to be mounded up for a sacrifice. That's just my feeling. He wanted to do that because he was only going to sacrifice, so he wanted some of Israel's ground to do that. I don't know why he thought that was going to help, but anyhow, that's what he did. I pray thee, be given to thy servant, in verse 17, two mules' burdens of earth. For thy servant, another time, will henceforth offer neither burnt offering nor sacrifice unto other gods, but unto the Lord. Now he was really a changed man. He was going to offer now to the Lord. Now in this thing, the Lord pardon thy servant, that when my master goeth in the house of Rimmon, I don't understand that verse completely, so I'm not going to expound on that. But verse 19 says, go in peace. So he departed from him. You know, I just think that Naaman and his men, they could have left that Jordan River and went back home, and they could have been singing, peace like a river flows through my soul. I've been forgiven, cleansed, and made whole. They didn't know that song then. I knew that. But I could imagine them going back and singing a song just like that. Peace like a river. Now Elisha's servant, he noticed how rich Naaman was. And I believe he coveted some of that riches. Elisha saw it differently. He didn't want to take anything. This was the Lord's doings. It wasn't his. But Gehazi, he saw it differently. You know, it doesn't take riches for God to work. Riches has its place. Yes, it does. But I don't believe that it should have its place with us. When at such a time as this. What can I learn from these four characters? The little slave girl, Naaman, Elisha, or Gehazi? What can I learn from these three? What can we learn from these four characters? The little slave girl, she believed, she trusted in God. even in a foreign land. That tells me something. She believed the same, no matter where she was. Naaman, I believe he was a proud, but he was a humbled person. Elisha, a servant of God, and he wouldn't change. He was the same. He didn't apologize at all to Naaman for Naaman's getting so angry at him. He was a servant of God. Elisha, a servant of God. And that's what all of us need to be, servants of His. We don't have to be leaders. I know it takes leaders too, but sometimes I think we want to be leaders, but we need to be servants. Jesus was even a servant himself. Could have been a leader, but he was a servant. He even talks about that. Gehazi. And I believe that he could see nothing but dollar signs. And we have to be careful of that. He could see no further than that. And I believe we have to be careful that we don't do that either. That we don't see anything but dollar signs. You know, it's nice to have plenty of riches here, enough to live on. But if you remember our song, and that man, by the way, was pretty poor. He was brought up very poorly, and my wife and I both were too. We know a little bit about being poor. Just comes to my mind right now that maybe I shouldn't even say. But anyhow, Mother never bought potato chips very often. That was really a treat to us, to have potato chips. I used to really set time, and she didn't get it very often, so I guess she thought I would eat them, probably most of them. But we had Jesus. That's what the song said. Let's turn to number 113 in the green hymnal. The airline had mangled Debbie's luggage. Then her purse disappeared. Instead of entering the airport through an enclosed corridor, she stumbled off the plane in the pouring rain. She was drenched, far from home, with no money, no identification, and no dry clothes. Under normal conditions, Debbie would have been furious, but that night it didn't matter. You know why? She had just survived the wreck or the crash of airline 1420 in Little Rock, Arkansas. Debbie said, I walked off that plane with nothing, and I thought I had nothing. But then I stopped, and I thought about it a little. She said, I have everything. I have everything. She suddenly realized that her life was more important than all she had lost. You know, sometimes it takes a dramatic turn in our lives to make us see things a little different, from a different perspective. But our outlook changes when we realize I'm nothing compared to my Lord. I'm just one of His servants. Maybe never forget that. Would you read that song? I just want us to notice the second and the third verse of that hymn. You can sing. Yeah, sing one. Mm-hmm.
To God be the glory, great things he hath done. So loved he the world that he gave us his Son, who yielded his life and atonement for sin, and opened the life gate that all may go in. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he hath done. Oh, perfect redemption, the purchase of blood, to every believer the promise of God. The vilest offender who truly believes, that moment from Jesus a pardon receives. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he hath done. Great things he hath taught us, great things he hath done, and great our rejoicing through Jesus the Son. But purer and higher and greater will be our wonder, our transport, when Jesus we see. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give